Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Community of Grace via Facebook Live. Let me share some announcements with you before we get started. First of all, there's several ways that you can connect with us now. The first one is that you can watch us on Facebook Live at Cog Family Community. The other one is that you can join us by Zoom. And our man that's handling that, Fred, is good about sending out an email like the day before, giving the codes and the things that you need to get onto Zoom. The other one is that you can listen to the recording after we're done today on the webpage at icgrace.org. And so these are the different ways that you can connect with us. Also, the questions are on the church email list, our COG list. The questions for both the Bible study and for the message are on there. So if you want to answer those and interact with us that way too. And so those are the different ways that you can connect with us. If you want to host us, you can call us at 783-8062 and we'll work out a schedule on when we can record this at your house if you want. All we need from you is good cellular reception. If we have that, then that's good. So those are those kinds of ways that you can connect. Also, I want to thank everybody for their giving, for your faithfulness in giving. Giving is important because not only is it part of your worship, it also grows your faith. As you step out in faith and you give, you know, our faith is grown by stepping out in faith. And, you know, our finances is one of those avenues that God uses to grow us. And so when you give to the Lord, it helps you too. So, but thank you for your faithfulness. So with that, let me open us up in prayer and we'll get into the Word here. So, Father, we thank you for our time today. God, I just pray that as we talk about the things we're going to talk about today, I pray, Lord, for your spirit of calm and peace to wash over us. I break off anything of the enemy that would seek to block our hearing, that would cause us to want to hear things in the wrong way. Lord, I just pray that you just protect us in here, those that are listening, Lord, from any of that. Lord, just give us your revelation. Give us your insight, Father. Just speak to us, not just in our minds, but in our hearts today. Just come have your way with us. And I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been going through the book of James for several weeks now, and last week we began chapter 3, moving from how we need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to react. And then we moved into talking about teachers and leaders last week and the responsibility that they hold in instructing believers. And that because of that awesome responsibility and the impact that they can have in that role, that they are under a greater accountability. The verse was also talked about this in chapter 3, was not intending to discourage people from serving in that role, but for them to be mindful of the responsibility that they hold. And so then we entered into verses about the tongue and how the human tongue, although it's a small part of the body, it can have a great impact. It can have a, for either good or bad, for blessing or cursing. But also that what rolls off of the tongue is a result of what is in the person. And therefore, what comes out of one's mouth reveals what is inside of them. And it can therefore either expose, condemn, and judge someone by their own words, or confirm what is in someone. And Jesus said in speaking to the religious leaders in Matthew chapter 12, beginning with verse 33, he said, "Either assume that the tree be good as well as its fruit good, or assume the tree to be bad as well as its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You offspring of vipers." Remember, he's talking to religious leaders here. "How can you, being evil, express any good things? For the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. The good person brings out of his good treasure good things, and the evil person brings out of his treasure evil things. But I tell you that for every careless word that people speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Jesus also says in Matthew 15:18, he says, "But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and those things defile the person." And so when we get to James, like chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, it says, does the spring send out of the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, bear olives? Or a fig bear, or a vine bear figs? Can salt water produce fresh? So what comes out of someone is a result of what is in them. And we may not have the ability to see into the heart and the mind of a person, but what they say will reveal that. James chapter 3 verse 2 says, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to rein in the whole body as well. We talked last time about that we all make mistakes. And with all and we all at one time or another get things wrong. We trip over our own words, just like I'm doing right now. we might even offend some. But this verse says that if we did not make mistakes, if we didn't err, if we didn't sin, we'd be perfect. But before that, he says that we all stumble. And in many ways, not just one. Stumbling here means to offend, and we can either offend or hurt someone with our words. Verse 10 of James chapter 3 says that we can bless or curse with our words. And James is writing this to believers. And he says that this should not be this way. But he also says in this verse that if we can exercise self-control, if we can have discipline in what we say, he says then we're perfect. Perfect here means mature. And it says that if you're able to discipline the tongue, then you'll be able to rein in or control the whole body. Meaning that the tongue and our words shows us where we are. It shows us where we are in what is in us. It shows us where we are in our maturity levels. And it shows us where we are in exercising self-control. So the other thing that we talked about last week, and also for several weeks, is what is really talked about in chapter 9, in verse 9 of chapter 3. He says, with our tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who have been made in the likeness of God. And we've been talking over the last several weeks, as we've been talking in James, about honor. The thing on honor that we have here is based on a book that our church has embraced called Culture of Honor by Danny Silk. And there's four things here. The first thing is that in honoring people, it's seeing people as God has designed them. It's looking past the externals, and the externals can trip us up. But it's seeing people properly, seeing them as someone that God has designed, that God has created, and God has placed on planet Earth for a purpose. The second thing is that therefore, we're going to treat people that way as we see them, as fellow citizens of heaven who have a purpose and a destiny, just like the rest of us do. And so when I see something or hear something in a person that is concerning regarding that individual, then out of my concern for that person, out of love and humility, I care front that person on what I see. After I check things out first, so that I have a true understanding And the proper way to approach this thing, assuming that it's really my place to do that. But then when I address things with that person, it is to focus on the good in that person. It's to focus on the gold, as we say. And it's pointing out that this thing that they are doing that is inconsistent with the good qualities in them is, you know, there's something wrong there. It's an inconsistency. And it's not consistent with who that person really is in Christ. And therefore, we approach others from a perspective of encouragement and not condemning. We're not ignoring the issue here, but it's in how we address it. We try to work with people to help them, to support them as they work. We work with them in healing that area and correcting that area to bring it in line with who that person really is. And doing this in love and out of love for the person. See, we are made in the likeness of God. And therefore, there is no excuse for brothers and sisters in the Lord to curse one another who are designed and created by God, fellow citizens of heaven, and supposedly possessing godly qualities. You know, we are to love and encourage one another. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. It does not brag. It is not arrogant. It does not act disgracefully. It doesn't seek its own benefit. It's not provoked. It doesn't keep an account of a wrong suffered. It doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It keeps every confidence. It believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love here is to not put ourselves first, to put other people first. It's to work with one another, to help one another, and to support one another, bringing loving, healing, correction for their benefit. How many times have we heard someone say, you know, I've been wanting to give this to you all day. You know, when I was a kid, if I misbehaved, my mom would say that sometimes. She'd go, I've been wanting to punish you all day long. You know, it's like, you know, again, when we correct someone, it needs to be for our benefit. You know, the one that we're correcting. You know, cursing that James talks about in chapter 3, verse 9. You know, cursing is to pray against. It's to wish evil against. And James says, we do this with people made in the likeness of God. So as we work with others and relate with one another, we need to remember Matthew 22, beginning with verse 35. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is called the royal law of love, and it is our Lord's greatest commandment. Now, today, I want to stay on this theme a little while longer before we move on in James. And the reason I'm doing this is because I feel that the church, whether we're talking about community of grace here or we're talking about our fellow churches, is that I think that we are all facing a challenge. And if we're facing it here at Community of Grace, and we are, then I think that the other churches are facing it as well. The church is in the midst of a fierce battle right now. And it has been for at least a year. And I think that it's a battle that the church is unaware of, because it has been so busy fighting one war that it doesn't see the other battles, and therefore is losing the fight. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says this. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We have been so busy fighting things like COVID and fear and protecting ourselves and fighting the emotional and physical effects of shelter in place and getting all caught up in the political arena and all the social issues of the past months, and we have not seen the real battle that is right on our doorstep. The enemy has been turning us against one another, and as we are fighting all these other things, we have become divided. We have not seen it in the light of being isolated because of COVID-19, but I believe that because of these things that we have been fighting that I've mentioned, that we have been able that if we have been able to meet over these past months, that it would have divided people and it would have ended relationships. Because of the political and social and health issues of the last 11 months. We were seeing the beginnings of this before the shutdown last year, but some of these other things had not surfaced yet. But some of them had. Like with politics, we were seeing some people move immediately to a place of great anger and offense at the very mention of certain people and parties, and taking things personally and therefore feeling judged and condemned. So, what are the issues? Okay. Now, I don't have time to mention all of them, but I will mention a few that I think are probably at the top of most people's lists. Now, I've tried to simplify this in an attempt to put it out there without upsetting people. So, and I don't want to upset people, because I want to get my point across that I'm trying to say, and I'm afraid if I upset people, people aren't going to hear me. So I've worded this very carefully. Okay, so there's three of them here, and I think that these are, as I said, probably at the top of most people's lists. The first one is feelings over the leadership in government, whether it is past leadership or present leadership, and with that there are feelings about the different parties, one party over another. That's issue number one. Issue number two is the feelings over race. how one group of people feels and has felt about how they've been treated, and they want that changed. But the other part of it is how the response to this is impacting the people in other racial groups in different ways. The third thing is the virus. It's the issue of wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. Now, some people are not fearful at all, but others are not in the same place. Other people are fearful, and they're fearful not only for their safety, but for the safety of other people. And so these are basically, I think, the three top ones. Now, if we look deeper at these issues, we will see things like people wanting to be honored and respected. We see people and their situations wanting to be given consideration. We see that people are scared. They're scared over who is and who has been leading the government. They're scared over the agendas of those leaders. And people are scared for their health. And there is how these things affect them and their loved ones. People are wanting fairness and justice and feeling like that has been denied, and with that their voice has been taken away and not heard, which is not feeling honored and respected, and what they hold dear is not being valued. And it has created confusion, and as a result of that, people are angry. And people are tired and they're frustrated and they're scared. But some are feeling like there has been justice and there has been fairness, and therefore they don't understand or are tired of the feelings of those who see this differently. And life as we all know it has been ripped away from us all with the shutdown and the restrictions, and people are tired and people are fed up with all of this, and they just want to get back to some level of normalcy. Now, when you talk about it like that, this sounds quite understandable when you put it like this. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says this: "For there is no authority except from God, and those who exist are established by God. Irregardless on how you may have felt or feel about who is governing us, God has allowed this now and has allowed it before. And God knows all. And nothing in the political arena has taken him by surprise, and God knows what he's doing. God established the institution of authority and governing, and we see this in the family structure, we see it in the business structure, we see it in the church structure, and we see it in the government and the civil structure. And so we need to remember that because these things are from God, that those who hold positions within these structures will be answerable to God. And so what we believers all need to concern ourselves with is our response. Our response is to trust God, to look to Him in this, being quick to pray, quick to listen, and slow to react and slow to speak. To listen to Him as to what we are to do with what God has set up. And when things happen that we don't like, we need to trust. We need to pray, and we need to follow what God says. Now, our challenge is when we run into something that we don't like, and we want to put things back the way that we like them. But, is that God's will? You know, God can and does use anything. He'll use bad things, and He'll use good things to accomplish His will. And if He's testing our faith, what if He's testing our faithfulness and our trust and our obedience in this time? What if He's exposing what is in us in this time? You know, this season has definitely been about that. These last 11 months have been exposing what is inside of people, and it is still going on. The longer that this goes on, the pressure increases more, and things are coming out now that had not come out prior to this. When we turn these things over to the control of God and put our trust in Him, and we put ourselves in a place of walking in His peace, if I don't do that, then it can put us in a place of control instead of peace and surrender. And when I'm in a place of control, where I'm feeling like I have to control everything, it brings stress, it promotes fear, as we move from a place of God has this to no God, I've got this thing instead, and I have to do something about it. In that moment, I leave God behind. And then there's the question of our witness. To those that we submit to those who watch us, I mean, what messages do we send to others in our response to those over us? Now, before Romans 13, there's Romans 12. As believers, we belong to God. We are a living sacrifice to Him. You know, our sacrifice, our surrender, is a form of worship and devotion to Him, as it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. You know, God showed us mercy by sending Jesus to die for us. His gift, His sacrifice, set us free from sin and its consequences. And we now have a new life in Christ because of what He did. But what He did was out of His mercy. We didn't deserve it. Paul says, as you have been shown mercy, present yourselves this way. We belong to God. We are bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus, and we have and should have died to self. We live for Him. We don't live for us. We live in a way that pleases Him. The King James Version, or the New in the New International Version, says that this is our reasonable service of worship, meaning that it's our thought through response that Jesus has done for us, and our ministry for Him, and it's our worship to Him. I mean, look at how we have been these last many months, and we all need to ask ourselves the question. Is God pleased with us? Is God pleased with each of us, how we have each been over these last several months? Looking at our thoughts, looking at our feelings, looking at our attitudes towards one another this past year, and even before that. What kind of a worship to God are we offering to Him? Verse 2 of Romans 12. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Over the last 11 months, and again, even before that, how many of us have become conformed to this world instead of walking in God's transformation of us? When we come to God with the things of this world, and that's, of course, assuming that we even did that, you know, if we came to God with the things of this world, and if we were to let Him renew our minds by giving it all to Him and listening to Him and applying to our lives what He is saying and trusting Him and let God have it all, and therefore being inwardly changed by Him, as we've said, what comes out of us is a result, again, of what is in us. And when the inside changes, the outside has also changed by Him, in a manner that is good and acceptable to Him and perfect, or in other words, as we said, mature. So the outside will confirm or judge what is on the inside. Verse 3 of Romans 12. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So this verse speaks of humility. And part of being a transformed person is there is a change in how we are to see ourselves, and how we see ourselves impacts how we see others. And if I'm not being transformed by God, but I'm being transformed by the world, I can have the tendency to put my thoughts over another. You know, my way is the only way. But humility is being more balanced in our evaluation of ourselves and our abilities. It is remembering that apart from Jesus, we can't do anything. That's right out of John 15:5. Humility is also seeing the importance and value in others, as in honor. God has designed and created and placed others on planet Earth for a purpose, just as He has me. And if I am connected to Him and what I am doing is the result of my connection to Him. If I am also being transformed as a result of that connection, I will see myself as God sees me, and I will see myself accurately, and I will see others clearly too. And as God sees them, I will treat them accordingly, and not in a way that is conformed to the world. Now, the following verses after verse 3 of Romans 12 speak to the fact that we are all part of a body of believers with gifts that God has given to each to serve and to minister in His name. It's a body that we should be unified in, and we should not be letting the world tear us apart. And if the world does tear it apart, what does it say about us? Then we get down to verse 9 of Romans 12, which says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality." Love without hypocrisy. Don't say one thing and then do another. Really love one another, and not saying it but not meaning it. But devoted to one another, not divided. Honoring one another, rejoicing in the hope that we have in Christ. It's Jesus. Jesus is what unifies us. And this is what we all share and have in common. It's our common bond. How can we believers allow the world to tear that apart? We can't. Our love is our witness, And by the way, this love is not just for believers. It's not just for our fellow believers. It's for everyone. Regardless of your politics, regardless of your race. We're wrapping up the book of Acts. Paul and Peter and Philip reached out to Jews and Gentiles and Romans and Ethiopians. They reached out to all people. We need to follow that example. That's why it's in there. Over these past months, what have we clung to? What have we been devoted to? Does it promote love to others? Does it give preference to one another in honor? By the way, honor is to go before. It's to lead out in honor. Are you respecting others? Are you valuing others? Paul then encourages us to not be slow in moving in our passion for serving the Lord. Our attention to what we're doing should be high. We should be serious in what we're doing because you're doing it for the Lord. Verse 11 says to be fervent. Fervent means to be hot. It means to be boiling. It means to be on fire. This should be our attitude in serving, in our service to God, in what we do for Him. Rejoicing in the hope that Jesus has given us. And therefore, persevering, which is to be enduring. Hanging in there in the trials because of God's strength and comfort and encouraging. Which leads us to being devoted to prayer. There's an old saying, little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. The challenge of this time is how are you carrying yourself in these things? And how you carry yourself is a reflection on what is in you. But is it also a reflection of your prayer life? What does this say about your prayer life? Verse 13 here, he talks about contributing to the needs of others, giving them what they need, whether it's materially or in a loving attitude, in kindness, in love, in respect, in meeting them where they are and supporting them and lifting them up in our loving response to them. In verse 13, he also says, being hospitable, bless and do not curse, even those that don't treat you right, even those that don't agree with you. Support one another emotionally. Stand with them. Cry with them. Rejoice with them. Laugh with them. Don't put yourself over others, and don't give begrudgingly. Don't give begrudgingly if you love them. See them in the right way because you're seeing right, and then love should be your response. Paul then moves on to verses 14 through 21 of Romans 12. He speaks in these verses of responding out of humility and love and not out of our rights. That's one of the big things I've heard over these last 11 months is our rights. We, as believers, we have died to self. We live for Jesus. We're dead people. We're dead people. We were buried with Christ. Raised to walk in new life with Him. We follow Him. We've given our rights over to our Lord and Savior. But pride says, you have rights. But the Word says, bless those who treat you badly. That's love and that's humility. It says, rejoice in the success of others. That's love and that's humility. It's not all about me. Rejoice with those even if you didn't get anything. It's like you ever gone to a child's birthday party? You go to a child's birthday party, and whoever's party it is, they come out with the cake and they come out with the presents. And what does every kid in the room do at that moment? There's one question on their minds, and it's, where's my cake and my present? And they say it in that whiny little voice, where's my cake and where's my present? And of course the parent comes up and says, well, it's not your birthday. We're here to celebrate their birthday. And what's their response? I want my cake and my present. And before you know it, the whole room is crying. That's not honor. That's not love. That's not dying to self. We're to have a good attitude toward others. And it's also getting to know people and understanding one another. How would things be different in our world, in our churches, if people did this? I hear a lot of stories from believers who talk about in their church, they've been going for a long time, they've been involved, and people don't know them, and people don't understand them. And they don't have relationship. They don't reach out in relationship. See, our goal is not for us to be honored. Meaning, we're not seeking it. It's not our goal to be recognized. Our goal is to make sure that our God is recognized. And we need to not be looking down on others who are less fortunate than us. Or may not have all that we have. Or who don't think the way we do. Or don't embrace the things that we do. Or are fearful or less fearful. This isn't love and it's not humility. And so we need to not react to others and repay bad for bad. Again, going back to James, we need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to react, and slow to get angry. He says in verse 18 of Romans 12, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Be at peace with others, if possible. Unfortunately, he says it this way because it's not always possible. Because we do live in a fallen world. And again, you have people that are in various stages of what we've been talking about this morning. Not everyone is in the same level of maturity. And because of that, it's not always going to be possible. But we do it if we can. Let me say that again. We do it if we can. In other words, it's not saying, well, it's on them. It's like, no, you try. We all need to try. This is the job of all of us. See, the world will know us by our love. Whether it's as a believer to an unbeliever or a believer to a believer. To someone who supports a party leader that we don't like, regardless of race, regardless of fear, regardless of courage, regardless of COVID. Then Paul talks about a response to those who hurt or abuse us. He says, don't take out your revenge on them, because vengeance is the job of God. See, I really do believe that this time that we're in, we are in an exercise in control. It's, are we going to give control up? And are we going to give to control our control to God and not take control up ourselves? Mm-hmm. I think this is one of the big things of this time. God is using this time, and God has been using it. Mm-hmm. But it's also loving our enemies. You know, how surrendered are we to the Lordship of Christ? You know, how surrendered are we in loving our enemies and loving people now, whether they're in church or out of church? How good are we at loving people that we're divided with? How good are we at loving people regardless of their politics? How good are we at loving people regardless of their race? And how good are we at loving people regardless of whether they're wearing a mask or not? Again, what is in us is seen by what we say and what we show. You know? Are we going to do revenge? Or are we going to give control to God? What you say and what you do reveals what's in you. And this is our testimony to the world. This is love to others. The final verse of Romans 12, verse 21 says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." You know, don't be overcome by evil. Don't be overcome by fear. Don't be overcome by anger. Don't be overcome by rage. Be overcome with good. Let what is in you, or who is in you, take over. When you do, the actions will follow. It may not always be easy, but you know, with Christ, it is always doable. After we get done with Romans 12, then we go to chapter 13 with submit yourself to those over you, which if you're practicing these things in chapter 12, you are already working on submitting yourself to those that are over you. See, one of the problems that we have with reading the Bible is, you know, things have been divided up into chapters and verses, and that's to help us find everything. But the thing about it is, when Paul would write these letters, these were one long document. So we have to look at these as a lot of these are a continuing thought. And so he starts off with looking at us and getting us right so that we can now submit ourselves to what God has set up and put in front of us. See, the issue we face can be opportunities for us to find victory over the issues that are within us, to grow in God through the trials, to show the love of God to others, and that's witnessing, and it's ministering to our fellow church members and family members. See, the issue really isn't about who's running the world. It's not, because God's in control. And it's really not an issue about race. And to be honest, it's really not an issue about mass either. Because all of this is temporary. It's all part of the world. It's all part of the flesh. We need to focus on the eternal. And we need to focus in love. You know, and we need to get right with God in this time. But the trick of the enemy is to get us to fighting the wrong battle. Or we fight where we shouldn't fight. We fight where there's no battle, so that we are distracted and not fighting where we should, or fighting the real foe. So, is what we've been doing, is that what we've been doing over the last 11 months? Fighting where we're not supposed to be? And fighting the wrong foe? We're in a war. Now next week, we're going to talk more about who the battle is really with. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that Your word would speak to the hearts of people and to their minds right now. Lord, that if this has stirred up people, I pray that your voice would come in, that voice of reason, that voice of love, that voice of wisdom would come in and speak to people. The people would be quick to listen, quick to think, and slow to react, but quick to go to prayer and hear your voice. God, I pray that in each and every one of us, you would help us to see where we've been fighting and where the fight needs to be. That we would lay down our arms to where it's not supposed to be and take them up to where it is. I pray for your love to just flood us. Your humility to love to flood us. Honoring of one another to flood us. You being on the throne, Lord God, to flood us. And I pray, Lord, that the you who is in us will be demonstrated in what we say and in what we do. In everything. In every area. In every part of our lives. And in everybody that we meet and everybody we talk to. So that people will know who you are through what we say and do. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you go, I put some questions on our church email list, so let me read these to you. The first question is, how do you think that God would label how you have been over the last 11 months? The next question is, in looking at your thoughts and feelings and attitudes towards others this past year, what kind of worship do you think that you have been offering up to God? What does it say about a church that lets the world tear it apart instead of being unified? And lastly, what have you clung to the last 11 months? What have you been devoted to over that time? Does it promote love to others? Does it demonstrate honor, respect to others, and show them that they are valued? So God bless you, and we'll see you again next week.